members here for a while. Some of you have you've moved to another location. You're in church. That's a blessing. Hey, we've got a lot of stuff going on here. All right. How many by chance in this room received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as a result of this ministry? Would you raise your hand? Would you be willing to stand? Would you be willing to stand if you're not ashamed of Jesus? If you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior as a result of this ministry. Man, that's a blessing. We rejoice with you. And I wanted people to see, even in the balcony, that God is still at work. And so thank you. You can be seated. That encourages us. It's the Lord that works in hearts. It's the Lord that draws people to himself, but it's a blessing to know we're part of something where the gospel's being preached and supported. I consider this as a family. You know, I've got family here. I've got my brothers here. I'm excited about that, but I consider my church as a family. And really, I was talking to a preacher the other day, a younger man, and he said he wanted to know if it was all right. He had been told to be careful about becoming, this is what he was told, about becoming too friendly with the membership. He said they might disrespect you. I said, brother, if they disrespect you, if you become too friendly, you never had the respect. I honestly, my best friends are in this room. I could hang out with you whether you came to this church or not. I just enjoy being with you. And so, and that's really the spirit we want to cultivate. We want everybody to feel welcome when they come, but certainly without compromise of the Word of God. All right, but everybody that walks through those doors, I want you to feel like you're very important to us, because you are. You are. And so it's a blessing. It's a blessing to celebrate 22 years. So as I have prayed about the message, it was a little more difficult because we'd been going through a series. We were in Matthew 7, and Lord willing, we'll take off there next week. But I really wanted to have something more fitting for the occasion. And so I thought I had the sermon last night, and then early this morning I thought I did. And then as I was praying before service, the Lord gave me peace about the message. If you're able to stand. I haven't given you the verse, have I? 2 Kings chapter 5. So, I'll explain the story behind the verse we're going to read, but the story behind the verse is not the main portion of the message. I'm actually going to take a phrase out of this text. I know that those who are strictly expository people, this might be difficult for you, but trust me, I will do no damage to the text. Okay, I promise we'll keep it according to its context. In verse 15, and allow me just explain this as we get ready to read. 2 Kings 5, verse 15. There's a man by the name of Naaman. He is a leper. He is a great man. He's not an Israelite. He's a Syrian. He's a captain. He's a soldier. He's famous. But he has leprosy. He has a flesh-eating disease that will kill him earlier than what his age would give way to. There were some people burdened about him. A young lady who served in his household, who was a Jew, said if he would go see Elisha, the prophet, he could be healed. Well, word spread, and Naaman heard about this, and so Naaman decided, well, what do I have to lose? The doctors can't help me. All of the magicians in Syria cannot help me. And so he traverses into the land of Israel and inquires as to where Elisha the prophet is. And as he inquires, he finds the house. He knocks on the door with anticipation, and Elisha does not even answer the door. Somebody else answers the door. And the servant of Elisha tells Naaman, you need to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and you'll be clean. Your flesh will return to you brand new. Well, he heard this, and he didn't like the remedy. It bothered him. Just like a lot of people do not like the remedy of salvation, that it's only through Jesus Christ, it's only through his blood that you and I receive forgiveness of sins. Some people say, no, I got to add my works to it. I got to add my church service to it. I got to add this and that. Oh, no, 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 no. It's only through Jesus. So he stamped his foot and walked away. He was going to leave a leper. He was going to leave that church service a leper. And as he walked away and as he was heading home, one of his servants, one of Naaman's servants, says to him, Master, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much more to do a little thing, just dipping in the Jordan River? And so he yields and he goes into the Jordan River. He dips 5, 6, 7 times. He comes out of the water. And there, his flesh is made whole. God's remedy worked. It always works. Here's the verse, verse 15. And he, Naaman, returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold. And this is the title. I'm going to give it a different title, but this is the main text. Now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Father, bless the message. Minister to our hearts. Thank you that you've brought us together for this occasion to consider your remedy, your work, your word. May the Spirit of God help us to hear. And may you remove distractions. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Aaron, the title will be Hindsight is 2020. Hindsight is 2020. So I'm praying this morning and I'm reflecting at all the amazing things the Lord has done. And allow me to share just a few. So some of you that have been paying attention to the screen, that have been attending for a while, you've noticed something quite amazing. We only owe $15,000 according to what we see on that screen. So in March of 2018, we finished that lobby area, the building on the other side of that wall. That included the upstairs, that included the steeple and all of that. That endeavor in the change of the parking lot, all of that, along with resurfacing the parking lot, put our loan back up to around $630,000. Now, let me just tell you that before we got into that building project, this original building, the first building, stopped where that bulkhead is right there. This was the back of the building, which means I was preaching right where you're at, Naomi. It got to where we had close fellowship. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. The choir was really spread out. We had like 2 rows. Joe, were you here when we were in that portion of the building? You came afterward? Yeah, okay. Right after. So it was a blessing. A lot of sweet memories there. That was 2004. And then 2006, we added this on, which brought our total loan to $650,000. Well, we had paid all of this off We owed $90,000, right at $90,000, when we decided, let's take this one on. Back up to about $630,000, $40,000. Now, I wish I could tell you that I had great faith. I did not have great faith. But I can tell you, hindsight, yeah, God was in it. It sure is a lot easier to track God from hindsight than it is foresight. I can look back and say, well, look at there. There's no doubt God was in that. There was no doubt God was in that. I can look back and say, wow, that. And I can stand on this side and say, well, sure, we didn't have any problems. Oh, yeah, it was easy. We knew God was in it. From the very time I left Northern Michigan, my brother's here, he knows me. I graduate, I'm going to tell him myself, okay, just to give hope to some of you students who are struggling. I am not the sharpest knife in the box. I know you probably didn't know that. And I'll admit, I did not give a full effort in high school. I did graduate. I got a diploma with a whopping C-minus average. That's right. God got a hold of my heart. I surrendered my life to the Lord and headed out. All I knew was, I need to live for God. I didn't know the direction, didn't know the people. I just knew I'm supposed to live for God. I was sick of trying to pretend around the world to be something I really wasn't. Because I'm really a Christian. And if you're saved, you're really a Christian. If you're truly saved and know Christ your Savior, eventually wearing the mask of the world gets old. Eventually, it quenches your spirit. It's a difficult thing to try to fit in with the world when you know that's not my crowd. And so, I hitchhiked out and I look back and say, well, yeah, hindsight's 20/20. It was easy to, yeah, God led, then being in the youth ministry, then coming up here. Hindsight's 20/20. And that is the way it is with every Christian life in this room. You look back and you can see God was in that. Even in the most difficult circumstances, you can look back now, and for the most part, I'm not going to say completely. I know there's some great, we'll understand it better by and by. As some of you, it's still going to be like that. But nevertheless, you can look back and you can say, I can see God's hand in this situation now, why He allowed this, or why we experienced this, or why I had to go through this. I can see it clearly now. And we rejoice in that. We rejoice in that as a church and what God's done here. But the thing the real struggle, it's not the hindsight, that's easy. It's the enduring the trials and the difficulties. You see, it takes faith if you don't have hindsight. So you lose a child and you say, what on earth? How does this fit into the plan of God? That takes faith. That takes faith. You lose a spouse, someone you've lived with for years, and it takes faith. You get diagnosed with a cancer, and you realize, man, I don't have much time left. Now, it takes faith. You're going through something financially that's going to shipwreck you. And that takes faith. your spouse leaves you. And you think, how am I going to get through this? And it's all cloudy. Well, it takes faith. Faith in God's plan. Faith in God's word. Faith to believe that the outcome will bring some sense to it all. Obviously, you can't make decisions for everybody else. Everybody pays for their own decisions. We do reap what we sow, but the reality is this. You're going through this difficulty, it takes faith. When we decided to take on that loan for that, just that building there, we had just went through a very difficult time in this church. It was a difficult time. I mean, it's like a lot of good people just felt led to leave. Well, but let's go build and go in debt. Why not? If we're going to sink, let's go down good. I'm telling you, there is nothing more exciting than to see how God can vindicate and God can take care of you and God wants to show himself to you. But it's that road of faith. That's the difficult one. That's the difficult portion of life where you don't get the hindsight. You have to deal with what you're presently going through. Let me just give you some advice if you're not living with the hindsight, but if you're living through, if you're on the road right now where it's cloudy, it's hard, you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. Let me give you some advice here, okay? This has helped me. It's biblical. It's proven true. Number one, make sure you're doing all that God would ask you to do. I mean, it's simple, but the number one thing you need to do is you need to make sure, okay, here I am. Whether it's my spouse has left, whether I've been diagnosed with cancer, whether my finances everything's ready to implode, or whether you've experienced a betrayal or great disappointment, and it's like I want to just throw in the towel, or you want to lose, or you've been attacked, or your wife's been attacked, and you want to get physical there, and so you're saying to yourself, okay, all right, I'm not quite sure how to handle this. Well, number one, make sure you're doing what's right before God. And you know, I've discovered this. If you don't have a right heart attitude toward people, you can't have a right heart attitude toward God, even if they're your enemy. I said, even if they're your enemy. You can read your Bible, you can come to church, and you can hand out gospel tracts, but if you have hate in your heart, you're hindering your relationship with God. And it will affect you. And you'll have a difficult time seeing the hindsight one day. It's a beautiful thing to look back and see how God did it. I see God's hand. I see his tracks. But if you make decisions while you're on this difficult road that will put you out of fellowship with God, you may never get out of there. It may get worse. It will get worse if you're a child of God. So, what are some of these things? Number one, obviously, you need to make sure you're right with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You have the right heart attitude. You're right with the Lord in your fellowship. Coming to church would be pretty important. Being a witness, tithing would be pretty important. I'm not even saying whether you're a member of another church. Tithing would be pretty important. That's a part of showing God you trust him with your finances. But knowing that I'm doing what God wants me to do now. Number one, if you're on that road of faith right now and you can't see the end and you're wondering if all things are going to work out well and you're thinking, maybe I made a bad decision. Maybe we just went in debt and uh-oh, we're going to get in trouble. You better make sure you're right with God. David didn't step down to fight Goliath thinking, boy, I don't know if God trusts me. He had already had a good relationship with the Lord before he stepped down to that valley and decided to take Goliath on. Mary and Martha would question Jesus, but hindsight's 20/20, wouldn't. So make sure you're right with the Lord. Number two, this is so important, because it's dangerous to make big decisions when you're going through difficulties, but if the Lord leads, that's different. Colossians 3:15 says this, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Let the peace of God rule. So if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and then I'm being pushed to make another decision, maybe try this or step out in this, and I don't have peace about it, I'm not going to do it. I mean, I'm not trying to do God's will for your life, and you're not trying to do God's will for my life. Hello?
Amen.
So I need to have peace in my own heart. Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord. So if I'm right with the Lord, if I'm walking with God and doing what I'm supposed to be doing, it's all right to think out and think big and to pursue desires that are wholesome and to do something for the Lord that bring him glory. And if he gives you peace, man, you know, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water in Matthew 14:31, you know what Peter said to Jesus? He said, let me first of all tell you what Peter did not do. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water toward the ship that he and the other disciples were on, he didn't immediately jump out of the ship and take off after Jesus. You know what he did? He said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you." He got permission. He got leadership. There's a lot of things in the Bible that God clearly says, "This is my plan for your life." It's biblical. But then there are other things in the Bible like, well, for us, it's not in the Bible. But having a carport with a huge lobby and bathrooms and upstairs and all that, well, it looks like the Lord was in that. It just does. He took care of it. It's like money's not a big problem with him, but I didn't want to be presumptuous. You know, I'm not no Oral Roberts who's going to say, "Well, I saw 100-foot Jesus, and he's asking for $1 million by the end of the week, or he's going to kill me." That's presumption. That feller's a false prophet anyways. So, I don't even know if he's alive. But, so it takes faith. Make sure when you're going through this difficult time. But, as I consider this, you know, hindsight being 20/20, but the times, the seasons, we look back at where, well, we had to endure faith. I mean, just 5.5 years ago, we owed $630,000. We're not Elon Musk or Bill Gates people, folks, for crying out loud. We're just regular folks. We don't have great affluence. And I pray, if you have affluence, praise the Lord. I'm still going to preach about your sin if you stick around. I'm not worried about it. But the reality is this. God just uses regular people. He gets the glory. He takes care of it. It's just, to me, that's a huge thing. I know where I came from. I'm like, wow. Overall, Brother Aaron, overall, this property value it's around $1 million. Yeah. And God has taken care of all of that. I'm blown away. But hindsight's 20/20. If somebody would have said, "Yeah, you're going to go into debt over $1 million when you go up there," I'd have said, "Not me. Uh-uh. Not me." Hello, talk to me, class. You understand? But this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. But it was step by step, little by little, piece by piece, and God's moving us along One step of faith at a time. I don't want to hinder his work. Oh, no. But I also don't want to jump out of the boat without him giving permission. I'll tell you what I've learned. And what you've learned when you're able to look back can certainly help you go forward. David said in Psalms 37, verse 25, he said, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what he's saying? Hindsight's 20/20. I've learned that God does take care of his people as they look to him. And God does meet their needs. And God will bless them in an abundant way. And yes, there are seasons of trials and seasons of difficulties and seasons that test our faith to the limits. But in the end, God is glorified. And you and I sit back and marvel like the disciples on the ship after Jesus calms the storm-raged sea. We say, what manner of man is this? And that ought to be our attitude. Those ought to be the things we learn about our Lord Jesus. As we endure in faith and as we progress and we look back and we say, well, I see what God did here. And now I'm going through something again. Well, don't change the game plan. Stay faithful to him because remember what he did last time. Just stay faithful to him. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't let your temper destroy you or the people around you. Oh, don't do it. Get your heart right. Make things right. Make restitution if you have to. Do what's right, and you can look back and you can praise him. Learn, because if you've already seen God do some wonderful things, listen, now you're going through it again. Listen, God's plan hasn't changed. Stay faithful. So, I should go back to Naaman. Naaman didn't like God's plan. But he finally got convinced, you know. What do I have to lose? Been doing it my way. What do I have to lose? And so he follows God's plan. And he testifies, now I know, he says. And when you get there, friend, your boldness and the faith goes like from here to here. And it doesn't matter how many people you're around. You're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be embarrassed. If you've received Christ as your Savior, you have no problem standing up shouting it, saying, yes, I'm a child of God. It's funny. It's interesting. It's not funny. It's fascinating. Hebrews chapter 11, we have a long list of men and women of God and their exploits, that is, their great faith decisions are revealed in that chapter. Noah, who built an ark. Moses, who chose to follow the people of Israel rather than to esteem the riches of this world and be a prince of Egypt. We have Joshua there. We have Rahab the harlot there who hid the spies. We have David there and Samson there. We have Samuel. We have all of these great... We have Enoch there from the very beginning and Abel there from the very beginning. All of these great men and women of the faith are mentioned in this chapter 11. It's the hall of faith or the hall of fame for those with great faith. And there are others who were not mentioned that could fit that category. But Paul takes Hebrews 11 and describes all of these men and all of these women and the great things they did as they trusted the Lord in their lives. And then he comes to chapter 12. And in verse 1 of chapter 12, he says something for all of us here. He said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint your mind. So it's like Paul is saying, Let me tell all of you people that are reading this in Hebrews 12, if you've made it that far. Let me tell you, all of those people, the Enoch, the Abel, the Noah, the Abraham, the Isaac, the Jacob, the Moses, the Joshua, the Rahab, the Ruth, the David, the Samuel, all of them are already in glory. And their lives are hindsight. And it's as though they're looking on saying, it's going to be all right. You can trust God. Don't fear. It doesn't matter what the odds are. It doesn't matter how outnumbered you are. It doesn't matter how limited you feel, Gideon. How weak you feel about yourself, Gideon. It doesn't matter how you failed in other things. Trust the Lord and see Him do great things. It's as though they're saying, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him with a tithe. You can trust Him with witnessing. You can trust Him with obedience. Hey, get your lives clean. Trust Him and watch what great things He will do. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. I'm going to shout me a big old Dave Ramsey here shortly. We're debt free. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, do you? Okay. And guess what? At this juncture, I'm not feeling led to go in debt right now. I'm not. As a matter of fact, I have no direction other than keep winning souls, keep preaching the word. I want to just praise the Lord. I mean, he could take me home, I know that. But I'm more ready now. I wouldn't want to leave a place in debt. Although I used to think that if the rapture took place, we'll let whoever take over. But that would have been kind of a bad testimony, you know, for the church. Those people, they're gone now, and they left. They still owe us $400,000. We can't find a one of them. I'll tell you what would be scary. Yeah, there are still a few members around. Go look them up. Weren't you a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church? Well, what are you doing here? Ooh. You know what's scary? That's possible. But praise the Lord. Hindsight's 2020, ladies and gentlemen. It sure is. In the meantime, we often have to exercise patience, faith to endure. And to be quite honest, it seems like most of the road we travel is endure, 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 endure. Ah. Wow, thank you, Lord. And then we get all excited and we try a new venture and then it's endure, 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 endure. Or God brings something into our life to make us bring some trouble and test our faith and it's like endure, endure. And we look back and say, oh. There's a passage in Psalm 66, I think it's verse 12. We went through fire and we went through water, but the Lord brought us out into a wealthy place. A lot of people, they're going to miss out because they never trust the Lord with their lives. They never make an impact on the people around them for eternity. And they come to the end of their lives and it's vain. Vanity of vanity, said Solomon. All is vanity. Because that's what living to yourself completely is all about. It ends up vain. I don't take anything with me. But to live for the Lord Jesus, it not only blesses you, and not only reveals God to you, but it helps the many people around you. Old Job would say in chapter 42, around verse 4, might be verse 6, he said this, I have heard of thee with the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. I mean, for some 38 chapters, actually some 41 chapters, Job had to live by faith, endure faith. Chapter 42, he'd say, hindsight's 20/20. Hindsight's 20/20. Father, bless the message. Thank you for your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to examine our own hearts, our lives. With every head bowed and every eye closed, allow me to ask this question. I got to ask this question because eternity's coming. These mortal lives will end. And we certainly want you to be ready. If you're not certain that heaven would be your home, and in the room, if in your heart you'd say, well, I don't want to die and go to hell. I don't want to die and go to hell. But you're not certain you'll go to heaven. I've got good news for you, but first of all, could I pray for you? If that is you, if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can see it? Is there anyone here like that that would say, preacher, that's me, pray for me. Pray for me. I am not certain that I will go to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I'm not certain I'll go to heaven. Pray for me. Is there anybody here like that? I won't embarrass you. I want to pray for you. Do you know that? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? All right. Lord, we love you, and we pray that you bless our invitation time now. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Brother Brian?